This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. Over the past 2 weeks, the Roman Catholic Church has allowed the world to see more than ever before of its rituals in burying one pope and electing another. For most of the last 2,000 years, the lives and deaths of the popes were mostly carried out in secret, with the true nature of their years at the head of the church only emerging afterward. So NPR's Mike Schuster has a bit of papal history.
The nature of the papacy has evolved in close parallel to the unfolding story of Europe's past. It is more or less true that the history of the popes has often reflected the broader sweep of European politics over the centuries. The period before the first millennium, the so-called Dark Ages, were certainly troubled for the papacy as well, says Gustav Niebuhr, who teaches religion and media at Syracuse University.
If one looks back, for example, at the Dark Ages, you find vast stretches of Roman history that truly are dark, when one just has to shudder at the sort of abuses, political abuses, criminal doings that went on around the people who elected popes at that time.
One scholar has written that a third of the popes in the 9th and 10th centuries may have fallen victim to foul play. Perhaps the most macabre story of this period is that of Pope Formosus near the end of the 9th century. Formosus called on tribes from Germany to help him put down political instability in Rome. When he died, his successor, Stephen VI, had his body exhumed, his cadaver was put on trial, his election to the papacy was voided, and his fingers were cut off. His body was then thrown into the Tiber River. As European political institutions took more complex shape, so did the papacy's relationship to those institutions. In the 14th century, more instability in Rome led the cardinals to flee to southern France, and thus was born the Avignon Papacy, says Christopher Bellito, a professor of church history at Caine University in New Jersey.
This is a horrible period of time. 1350 to 1450 has the Hundred Years' War, with the two superpowers, France and England, are fighting an intermittent war. England, of course, is going to line up on the side of the Roman papacy.
France aligned with the Avignon papacy, forming part of the background to the Battle of Agincourt in 1415, immortalized by Shakespeare and Henry V. This became known as the Great Western Schism, and for 39 years there were two rival popes. By the end, a third pope emerged, based in Pisa. The schism was eventually healed by the Council of Constance in 1417, which persuaded two of the papal claimants to resign and depose the third. Then an extraordinary conclave was convened, which included three sets of cardinals and another 30 representatives from the nations of Europe. The new pope needed majorities of all four groups, says Christopher Bellito.
You would imagine that after 39 years, that conclave would have gone on for a decade. It went on for 3 days, and the pope who was elected by the name of Martin V held uncontested sway, except for a very small lunatic fringe, from 1417 until his death in 1431.
Over the next century, the papacy became even more intricately entangled with the ambitions of the monarchs and princes of Europe. By the 1490s, the great merchant and political families of Italy all vied for the papacy. Perhaps the most checkered example was that of Alexander VI, says John O'Malley, professor at Weston Jesuit School of Theology. Alexander VI was a Spaniard of the powerful Borgia clan and used the papacy to benefit his own family.
Aggrandizing his children, actually, and his grandchildren. He openly admitted that he had these children, and they were sired while he was a cardinal.
Alexander favored his mistresses as well and their children, one of whom he made a cardinal while the boy was still a young teenager. One of Alexander's own sons, Cesare, waged war in northern Europe, attracting the eye of a clever writer of the time, says Christopher Bellito.
When Machiavelli was looking for a model for the prince, it was Cesare, the pope's son.
This may have been one of the most corrupt times in papal history, says John O'Malley.
It was widely known that money passed hands to secure the election of Alexander VI. So in effect, his successor, Julius II, in 1503, almost immediately made sure, absolutely forbidding any kind of bribery in a papal conclave.
There's a tale that Alexander and Cesare were poisoned, but that story is discounted by church scholars. This period in papal history had far-reaching consequences. Gustav Niebuhr notes that only a few years later, Martin Luther emerged to lead a movement to reform the Christian church.
The abuse of the papacy, the powers of the papacy, directly led to the Reformation, the breaking away of the Protestant movement, what became the Protestant movement from 1517 onwards. Western Christianity underwent a great rift from which it has never recovered.
Papal history has certainly not been without controversy down to modern times, but as Europe evolved, the Pope became less and less of a political prince and more of a purely ecclesiastical leader. Controversy remains, certainly, but not of the type that Alexander VI and some of his predecessors exemplified. Mike Schuster, NPR News.